This talk is a little bit about the discrimination that is needed for one seeking guidance, and also the discrimination that is needed for one who is guiding. Let's start with the person who is seeking guidance. Generally, the person who has reached this point, who is actually active looking for a guide, has gone through a number of previous stages and steps in which the person has awakened somewhat, has recognized and realized and experienced some of the scope and breadth and depth of the life that exists more than just the world around that's visible through the eyes or is heard through the ears. Person has usually gotten a greater sense and feeling of the scope of the worlds that exist through spirit, through breath, through heart, through touching on the unknown. Perhaps this person has encounters with their beings, has had experiences which are called extrasensory. And then this person has usually gone further and read some material and perhaps tried through some practices, attended classes, gone through different meditations, concentrations. And all this eventually has led someone to the understanding that there's not only more out there, but there may be people who can assist them in going further. And then finally, this person has to open up the way for being receptive to additional guidance, and then for the seeking of that guidance, and more particularly, that guide or a sister or teacher or murshid or conveyor or rabbi or guru, whatever it happens to be that the words and forms, the terms express in the nature of the individual seeking. Now, there are actually lots of great differences between these terms and how people act. There's a difference in the assister as the guide or conveyor as compared to the guru or teacher. And there's nothing that can be taught, really, in its essence. It is a matter of assisting and helping a person awaken again to that which already exists and that which they've already are but may have forgotten for a relatively short period of time. The spirit that exists is far greater than an individual thinks or feels or reads about and hears. It's far greater than it's taught in the books and teachings of other people. It encompasses all the world. And this awakening is what takes place, a reawakening to what one is, and the reassimilation into that becoming again of this one being. In discriminating between what path to take, one is led by their feelings, by their heart, and so you have to really clarify this and pay attention to what you really want and really need. And if you're seeking some understanding of the real and experience of that, then that is very different than a person who's seeking to some nebulous sense of finding God, spiritual well-being, or even the person who's saying, well, I want to learn meditation or concentration, I want to feel better. All of these are stages and steps along the path. And the person who is honestly and sincerely seeking guidance is looking for somebody who can help them remember and again become part of what they already are. So in the seeking process, the first thing is to become very clear of what you really want to do, what it is that you're really after, what it is that your goal really is. And this will define some of the the parameters of the people that you're seeking out at that point. Then the next stage is to see how you feel in the presence of those people that you come in contact with. Is it are they uplifting, joyful? Happiness is not necessarily the key, but an inner joy, an inner harmony, an inner love, and that feeling of being uplifted rather than constrained. Look around the people. See what they're doing. See how they're acting. See how any disciples or active students or ones who are being guided are. Are they lively? Are they happy? Are they enjoying life? Are they morose? Are they sad? This will give you a key in who's being attracted to these so-called teachers or guides or actual assisters and guides. It'll give you a sense of whether you should be in that situation if you're harmonizing with that. For example, if you're seeking freedom and expansion and growth and independence and joy and harmony, beauty, love, and you're in a group of people who are all subservient and paying attention to the only true teacher being the one in front of them in the physical body, and they're so concentrated and solid and so sincere, and everything is so important, and you've got to act in a certain way and do things in a certain manner, you might reconsider what's going on. Now, this is a lot of the application of very simple common sense. If you're going to a school, you want to visit the school. And here I'm talking about an outer school, like a college or a university and so forth. You have to find out which one is particular to your needs and desires. You don't go to an art college, an art school, and just start going there without finding out what kind of art they're doing. If you're a musician, you don't want to go to the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. If you're a scientist, you're not going to go to an art school. So the first thing is really to find out, using your common sense and abilities that you already have, and what's going on, and who the people are there, how they're progressing. Look at their work. Look at their works and get a sense and feeling of it. Now, you certainly are not going to know as much as the teacher. If you're going into a musician's school and training and there's a master musician there, you are not going to be able to discern the subtle differences between him or her and somebody else who's working in the field until you actually get to that level. But you can get a pretty good indication and sense of whether their music is harmonious or not, and you can get a good idea from looking at what they're doing and how they're doing it and what they're saying and the people around them, and if they're progressing or not, and what they're expressing, whether it's appropriate for you, and whether it's expansive or contractive, whether it's supportive or taking from people. And this is just simple common sense. You're certainly not going to go to a medical school if what you're saying is, well, I'd like higher education, and you're seeking solely mathematics, or the other way around. And if you're going to approach one of these schools, then you recognize that there are a lot of preliminaries that are involved, precursors to the actual training. And before you can become a doctor, you have to go through previous courses. And this is going to require a certain amount of studies and activities. And if you're not willing to put yourself toward that, then why get involved in the first place, and why fool yourself that you're actually becoming a doctor? Evaluate what your needs are, your desires are, where you're led, what the outer conditions of any institution are, and then what you're willing to put out and do, and the effort you're willing to place toward that. If you're not willing to fulfill that work, then you really shouldn't be in that business. And then when you finally find some group and people, and remember, you will be led according to your capacity and to your real intention and desires, and this will be filled. It's setting up a pattern as you're actively looking for something and then paying attention. You're going to be led to whatever level it is that you are actually seeking of that particular guidance. And make sure that it is actually guidance, because you might be looking for something else, like a self-supporting, mutually supportive relationship of fooling each other, as many times people get involved with in personal relationships. So be clear about this, or try to be as clear as you possibly can. And then follow your heart and feeling. Again, if you're able to, rather than the mind, there needs to be a harmony between individuals. There needs to be a sense and feeling of, this is the right place to be. This is the right individual. There needs to be a level of trust in turning yourself over to guidance. And there needs to be a realistic concern that you're not being deceived. So you have to pay attention to these things before getting too immersed. And then when you do let yourself go into that, that level of trust will be rewarded as to the conditions that you've considered, all the other considerations you've made. So in terms of guidance, this becomes the first step, essentially, in the seeking process. And then the next levels start to unfold when you're actually placing yourself within that framework. It isn't until you actually get involved with the work that you'll then be able to get a much better sense and feeling of whether not only it is for you or is not, but whether your perceptions have been borne out in practice. And if they are not, and you find something considerably different that's hidden, then you have an opportunity to reassess what it is that was veiling or shielding you from perceiving. And this, again, usually goes to your understanding of what the particular path or process or school you're getting involved with, be it an art college or a university or a teaching school setting or a trade or anything of this nature. You'll get to understand and recognize where you have been had misconceptions. And it goes also from an inner way, from the standpoint of if your desires are getting fulfilled, and these are actually your prayers, where you're led to, you get according to your abilities and inclinations and capacities and intentions, and then you might want to reassess again what these are. And when you finally find yourself in the correct setting and that harmony, you'll know, and you'll be able to go further, and that degree of trust will grow also. So this is a little bit in terms of the practical discrimination that one needs to have in approaching guidance and teachings. Assess it using some of the common sense that you already do have, and that you apply in other situations. From as simple as buying a piece of furniture, or going to a school, or determining whether a piece of fruit is ripe or not, you do it by taste, you do it by application, you do it by common sense. You don't cross the street if there are a lot of traffic running and is blocking the way, and you don't run into in front of a car because you just think you can see the other side. So, too, you have to be careful and apply this degree of logic, as well as the heart and the understanding and feeling of the soul in any spiritual situation.